Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. It is Thursday, February 23rd of 2023. You are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. This is the live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. In February of 2023, analysis and discussion of the Seven Trumpets Prophecy with me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, Dr. Nicole. Live analysis and discussion are happening here on PGN every Thursday and every Sunday. I invite you to share your perspective, to pose a question, or to present a prayer request during the live internet broadcast. You can reach us using our PGN phone number. During the live broadcast, that phone number is 1-319-527-6027. Again, the PGN phone number to use during the live internet broadcast is 1-319-527-6027. If you are listening from the archive, maybe you download the podcast and listen at a later time, you can text in your comment or question about the Book of Revelation at any time. And our PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. Today we're talking about the Seven Trumpets Prophecy. It is one of 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. So by my analysis, my perception is that there are 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. This book has six parts. It has a very unique geography. It is the 66th book of the Bible. It's the culminating work of the Holy Bible. It's the crescendo of an amazing word. In John, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let us hear today about the Battle of Armageddon. So when you look at the 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation, several of these documentaries in words, and that's what they are. We're told in Revelation chapter 1 that all of the statements of prophecy are sure to come to pass, and that this book is about the revealing, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came as the Lamb of God, the first time he came in the body of a human being. So God manifest in the flesh is Jesus Christ. He came at time number one as the Lamb of God, but at time number two, the second coming of Jesus Christ, that's time number two, he will return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And there is a special blessing for every truth seeker who hears the prophecies in the Book of Revelation. So it says in Revelation chapter 1, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. So how can you obey the words of the prophecy of the Book of Revelation? Well, each statement of prophecy, and again, there are 12, beginning with chapter 5 and ending with verse 5 of chapter 22. Each statement of prophecy has one, two, or three of the following elements. Number one, predictions about the future. Number two, admonitions, which are warnings, instructions for how to proceed, and number three, consolations, which are words provided for the purpose of creating comfort in the face of distressing information or events. So every statement of prophecy has predictions, warnings, and or consolation. So how do we obey, as we're told, chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, how do we obey what it says? In other words, how do we obey the words of the prophecy? I believe that the way to do that is to follow the admonitions, follow the instructions, heed the warnings that are provided. Okay, so let us go to hearing the seven trumpets prophecy, and then let's talk about the Battle of Armageddon and how it is discussed in the seven trumpets prophecy. This prophecy begins with Revelation chapter 8, verse 2, and it ends with Revelation chapter 11. Here it is. It says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, mixed with the prayers of God's holy people, ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth. And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. So that is the movie trailer in words. In other words, the abstract, what we call a movie trailer in words in professional writing terms. So verses 2 of chapter 8 to verse 5, that's the movie trailer in its entirety. So we've heard the end already. The end of this statement of prophecy, when we get to the end of the full report, it'll sounds something like what we hear in the movie trailer in verse 5. Let me read it one more time. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth. And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. So every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is essentially a documentary in words. Like directors who create movie trailers, Writers who create complex research reports create abstracts. And an abstract is simply a movie trailer in words. So verses 2 to 5 of chapter 8, that's the movie trailer for the seven trumpets prophecy. And it ended with, and thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. Now we're going to hear the full report. We're going to hear the movie in words, the documentary, if you will, in words. And we won't be confused when it ends with something like thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. Because when we see the movie trailer for Mission Impossible, and then we go to see the movie Mission Impossible, we're not confused because we understand that portions of the movie reflect content in the movie trailer. So that's a secret about the book of Revelation. You need that secret to unlock all of the secrets in the book of Revelation, to discern what is happening and where you are in time. So let us hear the full report of the seven trumpets prophecy. It begins with verse 6 of chapter 8. Then the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow their mighty blast. So John the Revelator is telling us what he sees in his vision. So what are his visions? His visions are documentaries, curated pictures created by an omniscient and omnipotent God for the purpose of revealing future events to John the Revelator. So these are documentaries created by God. John sees the documentaries and he uses words to communicate what he sees to us. And he calls these documentaries visions. He was shown 12 documentaries, unique documentaries about the second coming of Jesus Christ, the events leading up to it, the actual second coming, and then the events following, including the first 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this present earth, as well as the new earth to come. So now we're going to hear in words the documentary called The Seven Trumpets Prophecy. It's in the book of Revelation. And here is the full documentary in words. Again, it starts with, "Then the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow their mighty blast. The first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood were thrown down on the earth. One-third of the earth was set on fire. One-third of the trees were burned, and all the green grass was burned. Then the second angel blew his trumpet, and a great mountain of fire was thrown into the sea. One-third of the water in the sea became blood. One-third of all things living in the sea died, and one-third of all the ships on the sea were destroyed. Then the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from the sky, burning like a torch. It fell on one-third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Bitterness. It made one-third of the water bitter, and many people died from drinking the bitter water. Then the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and one-third of the sun was struck, and one-third of the moon, and one-third of the stars, and they became dark. And one-third of the day was dark, and also one-third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard a single eagle crying loudly as it flew through the air, 'Terror, terror, terror to all who belong to this world, because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpets.' Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. Then locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass or plants or trees, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were told not to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months with pain like the pain of a scorpion sting. In those days, people will seek death but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like gold crowns on their heads, and their faces looked like human faces. They had hair like women's hair and teeth like the teeth of a lion. They wore armor made of iron, and their wings roared like an army of chariots rushing into battle. They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months they had the power to torment people. Their king is the angel from the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, the destroyer. The first terror is past. But look, two more terrors are coming. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, 'Release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River.' Then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned loose to kill one-third of all the people on earth. I heard the size of their army, which was 200 million mounted troops. And in my vision, I saw the horses and the riders sitting on them. The riders wore armor that was fiery red and dark blue and yellow. The horses had heads like lions, and fire and smoke and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. One-third of all the people on earth were killed by these three plagues, by the fire and smoke and burning sulfur that came from the mouths of the horses. Their power was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails had heads like snakes with the power to injure people. But the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face shone like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. And in his hand was a small scroll that had been opened. He stood with his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a great shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the seven thunders answered. When the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, keep secret what the seven thunders said, and do not write it down. Then the angel I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand toward heaven. He swore an oath in the name of the one who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and everything in them, the earth and everything in it, and the sea and everything in it. He said, there will be no more delay. When the seventh angel blows his trumpet, God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled. It will happen, just as he announced it to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice from heaven spoke to me again. Go and take the open scroll from the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and told him to give me the small scroll. Yes, take it and eat it, he said. It will be sweet as honey in your mouth, but it will turn sour in your stomach. So I took the small scroll from the hand of the angel, and I ate it. It was sweet in my mouth, but when I swallowed it, it turned sour in my stomach. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Then I was given a measuring stick, and I was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar, and count the number of worshipers. But do not measure the outer courtyard, for it has been turned over to the nations. They will trample the holy city for 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap and will prophesy during those 1,260 days. These two prophets are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of all the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire flashes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. This is how anyone who tries to harm them must die. They have power to shut the sky so that no rain will fall for as long as they prophesy. And they have the power to turn the rivers and oceans into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. When they complete their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit will declare war against them. And he will conquer them and kill them, and their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem, the city that is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, the city where their Lord was crucified. And for 3.5 days, all peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will stare at their bodies. No one will be allowed to bury them. All the people who belong to this world will gloat over them and give presents to each other to celebrate the death of the two prophets who had tormented them. But after 3.5 days, God breathed life into them, And they stood up. Terror struck all who were staring at them. Then a loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets, "Come up here." And they rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watched. At the same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed a tenth of the city. 7,000 people died in that earthquake, and everyone else was terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second terror is past, but look, the third terror is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, "The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." The 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell with their faces to the ground and worshiped him, and they said, "We give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who always was. For now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. Reward your servants, the prophets, as well as your holy people, and all who fear your name, from the least to the greatest. It is time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth." Then, in heaven, the temple of God was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen inside the temple. Lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm. That is the entire full report of the seven trumpets prophecy. As I shared at the beginning of our time today, the movie trailer ends with Revelation chapter 8, verse number 5. And in the same way that we hear about a hailstorm and an earthquake at the end of the movie trailer, it says, "And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake." When we arrive at the end of the movie, we hear lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm. So John the Revelator is shown the movie trailer, and he gives that to us in words. That's Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 to 5. The movie trailer for the Seven Trumpets prophecy, and then he's shown the movie in its entirety, the Seven Trumpets prophecy in its entirety. And so it ends, John is again describing, but he describes in greater detail because now he has a longer picture. He has an entire documentary, so we get lots and lots of words. And at the very end, it says, "Lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm." So there are many things described in the Seven Trumpets prophecy. I want to focus in on the Battle of Armageddon. So the Battle of Armageddon is the war to end all wars. There will never, ever be on this present earth or the new earth to come another war. We're told that fact in the book of Revelation. Now, when Satan, after the first 1,000 years of the reign of Jesus Christ, when he is released from the bottomless pit, he inspires millions and millions of people. In Revelation chapter 20, we're told that their number is like the sands of the seashore. He inspires millions of people to approach Jerusalem. For the purpose of taking it over, he has persuaded them that they're going to take back this earth, that they're going to take back Jerusalem. So starting with Jerusalem, they're going to take back the earth. They're going to rule this world again. Right now, Satan is the ruler of this world. But upon Jesus Christ fighting and winning the Battle of Armageddon, this world will be ruled by Jesus Christ. The nations, many nations, will be permitted to continue, but the thrones of men, the kingdoms of men, will be put down, and the thrones, the kingdom of God, will be put up. The governments of this world will exist no more. In Isaiah chapter 9, we're told about Jesus Christ and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. But when does it begin? It begins with the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ descends from heaven. He descends from heaven on a white horse, we're told in Revelation chapter 19, and he is followed by the armies of heaven, also riding horses. And in Jerusalem, he meets the armies of the world, which include the armies of Libya and Egypt and Russia and other nations. Those nations that form the 10-nation alliance described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, also discussed in Daniel chapter 7 and elsewhere in the Bible. But let's stay here in the seven trumpets prophecy. The Battle of Armageddon is fought and won by Jesus Christ. And then he begins to reign. His government begins upon his fighting and winning the Battle of Armageddon here on this present earth. So in the seven trumpets prophecy, it says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven. The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. So this is the precise moment in our future when the Battle of Armageddon has concluded. It says the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And it says in verse 18, let me go back, in verse 17, we give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who always was, for now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign. An interesting fact about the book of Revelation is that there are two of 12 statements of prophecy which focus on events after the Battle of Armageddon. So we have here in the seven trumpets prophecy a little bit about the events after the Battle of Armageddon. For example, it says in verse 18 of chapter 11, it is time to judge the dead and reward your servants, the prophets. Now, when is it time to judge the dead? It's time to judge the dead at the great white throne judgment, where the books are opened and the cases of every dead person are heard. Now, I said there are two statements of prophecy that focus on events following the Battle of Armageddon, and I meant to say three. I should have said three. Those three statements of prophecy are the millennial reign prophecy, verses 1 to 10 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. So the millennial reign is the 1,000 years, which represent the beginning of the reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. There is the present earth, which we are now on, and upon which or in which Jesus Christ will establish his government, and that government will continue forever and ever again. In Isaiah 9, it says about Jesus Christ, and of the increase of his peace and his government, there shall be no end. So when he fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon, Team Jesus versus Team Satan, when he fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. They're sent to the second death. They are destroyed forever and ever. He fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon. That's the beginning of peace. That's the beginning of peace. It's the beginning of peace, but it's not the culmination of it, because although there will never, ever be another war, when the third enemy of God, when Satan is released from the bottomless pit where he will be chained for 1,000 years, so during the millennial reign, and this prophecy is in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 10, during this 1,000 years, the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ, Satan is chained in the bottomless pit. He's released at the very end for the purpose of bringing to a conclusion this age. So at a certain point, we need total peace. And so Satan is released so that he can go to his doom, so that he can be destroyed, so that God may send him to the second death. And that's precisely what happens, and that's described in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Satan is thrown into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur and brimstone, where he joins the Antichrist and false prophet who've been there already for 1,000 years. So after the Battle of Armageddon, again, we have three statements of prophecy. So 75% of the statements of prophecy, that's nine of them, focus on the events preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ, as well as his second coming, and in some instances, many instances, the Battle of Armageddon. But the final three statements of prophecy, the millennial reign prophecy, the dead judged prophecy, and the new earth prophecy, focus exclusively on what happens after the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the millennial reign prophecy is mentioned very briefly here in the seven trumpets prophecy. So notice that it says in verse 17 of chapter 8, "For now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign." And so as is the case in the Bible, a verse or several verses can span long periods of time. When we leave verse 17 and look at verse 18, it says, "The nations were filled with wrath." So that happens during the wrath of God, which follows the great tribulation, which is the wrath of Satan. And then it says in verse 18, "It is time to judge the dead." Let's pause there. So in the seven trumpets prophecy, after the sounding of the seventh trumpet, we have a description of the battle. We have a description of how the Battle of Armageddon has been won. And now we have a report of the great white throne judgment. Now that prophecy is in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. So the details of that, it has its own documentary. It's so important that God gave what is mentioned in the seven trumpets prophecy, he gave it its own documentary, its own specific vision given to John. So that's the great white throne judgment. Finally, let's talk about the crescendo of the Bible. Let's talk about the pinnacle of the Bible and the book of Revelation. So the book of Revelation, you could think of it as the pinnacle, the crescendo, the culmination of the Bible. It is the 66th and final work. in the Word of God. And the 12th and final statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, so the pinnacle of the pinnacle, the pinnacle of the crescendo, is the New Earth prophecy. So this prophecy describes what happens after this present earth and the present heavens are destroyed. So earlier in the Bible, we're told that the earth, God's going to fold it up like an old cloak, that it's going to wear out. And we're told elsewhere in the Bible that it's going to be destroyed with fire. Nothing will make it to the new earth that isn't perfect. Before God the Father moves from heaven to the earth, it must be perfect. All traces of evil, all corruption, anything that fails to reflect the glory of God must be destroyed. And Jesus Christ will do it. Even death is going to be destroyed by Jesus Christ. And I say, well, research scientists, what are you talking about? In the dead judged prophecy, we're told that death is destroyed. Death is thrown into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. And this was prophesied in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, where it says, and the last enemy he destroys will be death. So what happens in the New Earth prophecy? We're told about how a new earth is created. A new earth appears and new heavens. And the old heavens, which housed a specific city called the New Jerusalem, they release that city. It descends from heaven and is merged onto the new earth. So what's the take-home point here? In the seven trumpets prophecy, after the seventh trumpet is sounded, we have a description of how we have a report of the fact that the Battle of Armageddon has been won and Jesus Christ has begun to rule. It's the commencement of the millennial reign, the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth. And then we're told that the dead, the timing for the dead to be judged is here, as well as the timing for all of the prophets and the holy people of God, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The good fish is described in a parable in the book of Matthew. The wheat is described in another parable. The sheep, all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all who have participated in the first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb, all who have transitioned from mortality to immortality, both those who were in our present heaven, those who are in that temporary location awaiting the resurrection of their immortal bodies so they can descend into those bodies, so they can occupy those bodies forever and ever. And those who are on the present earth who transition to immortality as well in the blink of an eye. So this is reported at the end of the seven trumpets prophecy, once the seventh trumpet has been sounded. But ultimately, after all who have destroyed the earth are destroyed, and it says in the seven trumpets prophecy in chapter 11, verse 18, it is time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. So how are they destroyed? That's described in the dead judged prophecy in verses 1 to 5 of chapter 21. At the very end, we transition to a new earth. And I believe, as reported elsewhere in the Bible, that that will happen with holy fire and other sounds and events that are remarkable. Take home point, the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won. It will be the war to end all wars, but it is only one event in a series of very important events, but it marks the end. It marks the end of mortality because the marriage supper of the Lamb is the Battle of Armageddon, and the marriage of the Lamb is the first resurrection. So before the Battle of Armageddon, in the moments and minutes before the Battle of Armageddon, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb described in Revelation 19, the first resurrection occurs. By the time we get to the Battle of Armageddon, you will already be in your glorified, perfected body. You should never, ever fear the Battle of Armageddon if you are a truth seeker, because at the timing of the Battle of Armageddon, you will already be a member of the royal race. You will have already transitioned to your perfected, glorified body, 100% free of DNA errors, the body that you will occupy on this present earth for 1,000 years, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, and on the new earth to come in eternity future after the end of time. I want to thank you for being with me and with us today. We're going to continue discussion and analysis of the Seven Trumpets Prophecy on Sunday at 12 noon Texas time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I urge you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God. He will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.